It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
President Trump's Thursday rally in Minneapolis will go on. His 2020 campaign is now claiming victory in a dispute over a $530,000 security bill that almost shut down the event at the Target Center. The president's campaign threatened to sue Minneapolis, alleging the city tried to prevent the rally by not covering the additional $500,000 security costs, which AEG Live, the Target Center's venue manager, asked Trump's campaign to pay. The president tweeting, "Radical left Dem mayor of Minneapolis Jacob Frey is doing everything possible to stifle free speech despite a record sellout crowd at the Target Center. Presidents Clinton and Obama paid almost nothing." Mayor Jacob Frey says he wasn't in office for previous rallies and insists the city's contract with the Target Center indicates Minneapolis is not responsible for excessive security costs. But ahead of the rally, the mayor and the president have been feuding. The mayor saying the president's hate speech is not wanted in his city.
It is divisive, and we do not welcome that kind of rhetoric here in Minneapolis.
Adding to the controversy, Minneapolis's police union is also alleging the city is suddenly trying to limit its visible support for Republican candidates. The union president tells Fox News the city enacted a knee-jerk policy barring off-duty officers from wearing uniforms to political events.
We do give our endorsement to both sides of the aisle, but this is a very anti-President Trump one. It's in reaction to his visit.
The union responded by selling Cops for Trump t-shirts for Thursday's rally. The mayor says that police uniform policy has been in consideration for about a year, and the timing of it now has nothing to do with the president's visit. And tomorrow, there are at least six groups planning opposing demonstrations here. The police say they are expecting larger than normal crowds. Brett.
All right, that was Matt Finn on a special report last night. So that rally in Minneapolis with the president is taking place tonight. And you heard the mayor say a few things there, but I want to embellish that a little bit. This is what he wrote or tweeted. "Under ordinary circumstances, it would be an honor to welcome a sitting president of the United States to Minneapolis and to showcase all our city has to offer on the national stage. But these aren't ordinary circumstances. Since taking office, President Trump's actions have been reprehensible, and his rhetoric has made it clear that he does not value the perspective or rights of Minneapolis' diverse communities." He goes on to clarify that. "On October the 10th, our entire city will stand not behind the president, but behind the communities and people who continue to make our city and this country great. While there is no legal mechanism to prevent the president from visiting, his message of hatred will never be welcome in Minneapolis." Isn't that, it's just odd. I mean, what he's basically saying, and he's talking about the minority communities in Minneapolis, and of course the narrative is that President Trump is a racist, and of course he wants to cut down on illegal immigration, and so therefore it means he must hate the Somalis of Minneapolis or whoever else is living there. And it's Mayor Jacob Frey, you know, doing everything he can to stop the president and to undermine him, and choosing the communities, the immigrant communities, over the president. Why does that choice have to be made? I think, you know, really immigrants who come to this country in the right way should be embracing this country, its values, and their president. So it should not be that choice. It's the mayor making that choice. It's the left making it that choice. So President Trump responded to Mayor Frey. Oh, actually, no, he responded to the policeman that we played his clip yesterday, who's part of the police union up there, who's creating these T-shirts about Cops for Trump. And President Trump responded to Lieutenant Bob Kroll by saying this, "Thank you, Bob Kroll of the great Minneapolis Police Department, for your kind words. The police are fighting the radical left mayor and his ridiculous uniform ban. Actually, I love the Cops for Trump shirts. Want to bring some home. I am with you 100%. So it's going to be interesting and actually kind of scary. I have to say, I think it's scary because Antifa is shaking the trees to get people to show up in Minneapolis tonight, and they are calling their counter rally, America is canceled. And we all know how Antifa, and they are trained to be violent, even though they're tapping it down right now, they are trained in violence. And I just think it's frightening. I really do. I think it's dangerous. The mayor, of course, you heard in that report, was going to charge the Trump campaign, or the, I guess it's the campaign, I think it's the campaign rally, $500,000 for security. And I think they charged Barack Obama $20,000. It just shows you this how outrageous this has become, all in the guise of some sort of moral high ground. But that's taking place tonight in Minneapolis, and all eyes will be on that. And, of course, I think our prayers need to be there because we just don't know. There'll be innocent people hurt, no doubt. Even if the president remains safe, other people will be hurt. And so, and think of the police and the danger that they face. You know how Antifa hates them and how Black Lives Matter hates them, how the left hates them. So I just, I think we're in a very serious, stressful situation. And I just pray that God will somehow remove the veil from people's eyes. Now, I'm not saying that President Trump is the Messiah. That's the conclusion that many Christians who are not in agreement with me about President Trump will make, is that somehow I think he's the Messiah and I can't see his faults. It's not about that. It's about our country. It's about preserving our country, the safety and sovereignty of this country and its foundings. It's preserving that. So that's what President Trump is trying to do, among other things. It's not him that's the Messiah. He's championing something much greater than himself. And when these the left comes out in hatred, it's not hatred for just him. It's hatred for us. We know that. I'm going to get into that a little bit today. I have a very interesting response from a listener who's been attacked, even in her own church. And then I'm going to also play that Ellen DeGeneres clip that we did not play, her comments about sitting next to President Bush at the game. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to tell you that today is that day of action where we have been asking you, I'm asking you, to go to your local congressman's offices. They're on recess right now for whatever reason. They're always on recess, but they're in their home offices. And this is a day when Tea Party Patriots is kind of spearheading this National Day of Action. And that is a case, if you're doing the dishes or if you're having your morning coffee or what you're doing, and this is the first you've heard it, you know, get your clothes on, put your makeup on. As my mother would say, wash your face and get dressed and go to your local congressman's office and tell them that you do not want them to impeach the president of the United States, unless you think they should. But if you agree that this is an illegal process and that he's not done anything impeachable, you need to let your congressman know, because if you don't show up, they're going to think you don't care. I mean, it's as simple as that. And we really are in a war. We really are. It's just amazing how the battle lines are being drawn. And so if you are interested in doing that, you can go to Tea Party Patriots and look up, they have an action guide, they have some guides, and they also have the addresses of the various offices. If you feel like you can't find the office of your local congressperson, I think you can, but if you need that, that help is there too. And then if you can go to TrumpDefenseTeam.com, TrumpDefenseTeam.com, that website will give you the help that you need. And as we get, I think there is an election this weekend in Louisiana for governor. And I haven't even had a chance to really explore that the way I would like to. But I just want to tell you that if you're in Louisiana, you need to pay attention. AFA has a great voter guide. And you can find it at AFA.net, AFA.net. Go to our voter guide and you can figure out who the candidates are and what they stand for. I would caution you, without knowing the players, and I really don't, I would caution you that you probably want to use other sources. Our guide uses other sources besides voting record, because sometimes politicians will talk a very good game. You know that. And so it's really hard to discern who really is conservative and who isn't. In these primaries, Republicans want to appear very conservative, but they often are really not. And so you have to be, you know, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So help us, let us help you by going to that voter guide at AFA Action and find out what's happening. And of course, the election in Virginia is coming up November the 5th. I think the 5th is the date. And that's a very, very crucial date. And we'll be talking more about that. But just pay attention, because there are some special elections happening around the country. And every single election matters. The governor's races, Matt Bevin in Kentucky is in a really close race. Many people feel that Matt was a real champion. He's the one that challenged Mitch McConnell. So the forces of whatever are coming after him to get him defeated, and so he's in a close race. I don't know his opponent, so I can't really speak to that race yet either, but hopefully I will. Nevertheless, pay attention and get that voter guide, and that'll help you make those decisions. All right, so, of course, a lot of things are happening. Last night, actually, I'm trying to decide what I want to talk about here. Capital One Center. Someone in the last few days caught a moment where during the national anthem, one of the executives or persons representing Capital One Center comes over to guests in the arena who are holding, defend the Hong Kong protesters, stand for the Hong Kong protesters, whatever their signs said. And this is how it went down. I just want you to listen. Clip 8.
But what was the reasoning? What's the reason? Understand you're doing your job, sir. Totally.
Just Capital One Arena. We understand. We respect your freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. We are just personally not having. We don't have any stance on it, and so we're just asking. No one's any signage related to that being in here tonight.
And so and under what was the
it's so
the
I just signed it, and that's what it is.
Under the sign standard or.
And it's also outside of our size stand for the so okay. Can I ask you guys, I'm going to have to take it. Yes. Or you can toss it out. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
Now, think about that. Capital One Arena is in Washington, D.C. Now, the singer is singing the land of the free and the home of the brave. And while she's singing, a representative from Capital One Arena is taking the sign away from a couple of people in the crowd who have these signs that say support the Hong Kong protesters or freedom or some such thing on their placard. I mean, this is, we are watching. With our very eyes, we are watching the deconstruction of our republic through a combination of the ignorance of our people. The very careful, calculated move of the left, and they're having great success. And people just stand by and watch it. And the irony is just almost nauseating, I have to say. Literally nauseating. And of course, we know about what happened with the NBA a couple of days ago, where a coach, and I wish I had the names, I don't in front of me, but the coach tweeted his support for the Hong Kong protesters, and immediately the NBA comes after him with a vengeance, and the Chinese, demand obeisance to their policies. And so the NBA quickly caves. It's just, it's frightening. And I've heard more stories that I can't get into today, but I will. Frank Gaffney's been talking about this, about the tie to Chinese government and federal pensions for federal employees. And how while we are sanctioning businesses from doing business with certain Chinese companies and overseas companies of other hostile governments, we are not stopping investors and Wall Street from investing money in those companies, the same companies that are building tools and equipment to destroy us. It is an irony. And also, there's a move right now to invest billions of dollars of American federal worker pension funds in Chinese companies. I'm just dropping that in, and we'll save that for another day. But this is how the wheels can come off the bus so quickly. We're trying to stop it. We're trying to stop those wheels from coming off the bus, and that's what I'm trying to do every day to try to help you understand, to think deeply about what's taking place. It's more than just anecdotes and stories. It's an undercurrent that is overtaking us and sucking us down a big black hole. And as long as we can see the truth, I believe it's possible not to go down that black hole. And that's why I'm fighting. All right, so we're going to open the phone lines today. So stay tuned. The phone number I'll tell you now is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
The 2019 Values Voter Summit is coming October 11th through the 13th to Washington, D.C. The summit will help inform and mobilize citizens across America to preserve the bedrock values that help make our nation strong. The event will include a luncheon by AFA Action and speakers like National Security Advisor John Bolton, Franklin Graham, conservative host Laura Ingraham, and Senator Lindsey Graham. Here's AFA public policy analyst Abraham Hamilton III.
My hopes are that the people who attend will be fortified, they will be inspired, they will be equipped to carry the fire of Christ following into their civic engagement responsibilities.
Register and get more information at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Don't miss the 2019 Values Voter Summit, October 11th through the 13th in Washington, D.C., co-sponsored by the American Family Association.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
National Guard member Joe Johnson volunteered to go to Iraq to avenge his son's death. His son Justin, 22, was killed by a roadside bomb just 12 days after arriving in Iraq. But what Joe saw there caused a change of heart. Johnson was horrified by the extreme poverty. The friendliness of the people and the grateful smiles of Iraqi children weakened his desire for revenge and made him want to help instead. "I believe the Lord changed my heart because I do have a heart for the children," Johnson said. "God knew what I needed." Are you struggling with a desire for vengeance? The Bible reminds us that vengeance is God's. Why not let Him transform your heart, just like He did Job's, and take away your wish for revenge? God will replace it with a desire to reach out to those around you who are hurting.
For information on books and other resources by Steve Russo, visit the Real Answers website, realanswers.com.
This is Pause to Pray. A chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Rick Perry, the United States Secretary of Energy. Secretary Perry leads the department that deals with policies regarding our country's energy and nuclear material. Corinthians 9:8 reminds us that the Lord blesses us with resources, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Secretary Perry as he helps manage our country's energy supplies. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
The annual Firemen's Parade is a big deal in Franklin, New Jersey, but there's a bit of controversy after volunteer firefighters from Sussex County included a Trump 2020 banner in the color guard. Local Democrats were furious. The Sussex County Watchdog reports the volunteer firefighters have received death threats. Some citizens are calling for the volunteers to be fired, all because a firefighter flew a flag that was emblazoned with the words, "Keep America Great." Allison McHose, a local lawmaker, said she stands with the firefighters, and she posited a very important question on her Facebook page. Why is it okay to hate President Trump, but it's not okay to like President Trump? A writer for The Watchdog summed it up quite nicely. The writer said the Democrats' loathing of President Trump is more dear to them than the safety of their own families. Hashtag truth bomb. For more on this story, check out ToddStarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Are you concerned that Erdogan will try to wipe out the Kurds?
I will wipe out his economy if that happens. I actually think much tougher than sanctions. I've gotten him to stop for virtually from the first day that I was in office, but they've wanted to fight And that's the way it is.
Together with all our commanders, we will bring down the terror corridor. We are determined. Our combat is not against civilians. No steps will be taken against civilians.
If Turkey insists on an attack and invasion, we will use our right to defend our lives. We are ready to confront and respond to all kinds of attacks that could be launched against us.
All right, that was John Roberts asking President Trump about Turkey, and then that was President Trump's response. That was Erdogan and his deep voice saying, we will not target civilians, because I don't believe him. And then the Kurdish fighters saying that they will fight to the death. And so it's a mess. I've told you before, I really don't know what's right and what's wrong in this issue. We do have a mess. I mean, for instance, the 10,000 ISIS soldiers that are being detained are being held by the Kurds. So what's going to happen with them? I mean, I'm hearing from other sources, and I'm still not sure about what the truth is, because there's so much chaos in that region. I can tell you that when we were in the middle of fighting in the middle of the East, there was so much confusion. I remember John McCain and Lindsey Graham both siding with these so-called freedom fighters that were Syrian. And I knew from other sources that they were not freedom fighters at all. They were Islamists. We were actually equipping our enemies through their misguided help. It's easy to be confused about who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in the Middle East. It's not easy. There are not clear lines. I think Americans, and maybe some of us even in the Christian tradition, are used to thinking of things in clear terms. Now, I'm not... Look, I should interject this. I think... The left then always says or holds the opinion that if you are really clear, in other words, you hold a black and white view on something, you're somehow less than intellectual, you just don't understand the nuances. I reject that, and I'm not telling you there isn't a right and wrong on issues. I'm not saying that. But I am saying in some situations, the lines are very unclear. I mentioned yesterday that movie Sophie's Choice, based on a real story about a mother during the Nazi war years having to choose between the lives of her two children, which daughter should be killed and which should be allowed to live, and they forced her to make that choice. So what's right and what's wrong? And see what I'm saying? It isn't, well, you know, you're leaving the battlefield and your best friend has been shot, but no one, he's wounded so much you can't carry him. Should you shoot him so the enemy can't come up and torture him? Should you stop and have the whole platoon be killed because he's been shot and wounded? What is right and what is wrong? I'm just saying, some things are very hard to discern. And I think often it's foolish for us to know. Some things we can know. God's word is very clear on some things. Some things we can't know so clearly. And I think this is one of them. I noticed that John Stone Street on... Breaking Point weighed in on this. I think they are very upset about it. He said the Kurds will now have to defend themselves, which against a NATO member, Turkey, which views them as terrorists and wants them out of Syria. With U.S. troops out of northeastern Syria, the Kurds and the Yazidis and Christians they protect will be fully exposed and therefore in grave peril. They will be forced to turn their attention and their fighters away from ISIS to confront the existential threat from Turkey. The resulting vacuum could lead to a resurgence and emboldening of ISIS, much as President Obama's unwise and impulsive withdrawal from Iraq led to reorganizing our enemies there. 11,000 Kurds have given their lives to fight against ISIS already. They need and deserve U.S. support. To withdraw that support now sends a message around the world about the U.S.'s reliability as an ally. For all the reasons evangelicals have had to applaud the Trump administration over the past 2 years, from nominating conservative federal judges and Supreme Court justices to defend religious liberty to protecting the unborn, I have to say this decision is not one of them. Evangelicals must make it clear that we expect the administration to do all it can to protect persecuted Christians wherever it can. The largest towns in the region, Qasimi and Hasaka, are mainly Christian. Working in conjunction with Kurdish forces while protecting the world's most ancient Christian communities is something the U.S. must continue to do. Pulling U.S. troops out of northeastern Syria puts the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ at risk. So I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I don't think I could personally do this. I don't think I could personally make that decision to pull out, knowing what we know and having had their faithful service side by side with us in the trenches. But I have this question to ask because I don't know the answer. The president made his sort of plea in a speech a couple of days ago, and actually we should stop to play that. It's something we played a couple of days ago. I want you to hear it again when he was being questioned during a conference on another issue, and this is what he said, clip 12.
We are doing what we have to do, but we've been there for many years, long, many, many, many years beyond what we were supposed to be. Not fighting, just there, just there. And it's time to come back home. But I can understand the other side of it. But if you go by the other side, that means we should never, ever come home. We should never, ever come home. And, you know, I have to sign letters often to parents of young soldiers that were killed. And it's the hardest thing I have to do in this job. I hate it. I hate it. Afghanistan. I signed one the other day. Iraq. Syria. They get blown up by mines. They get taken out by a sniper. And I have to write letters to people. And we make each letter different. Each person is different. And we make them personal, but no matter what you do, it's devastating. The parents will never be the same. The families will never be the same. People are killed. Many people are still being killed. It's going to go on that way for perhaps a long time. And we're willing to do what we have to do, but there has to be an end game.
So I just, honestly, I am asking you because I really don't know what to think about this. The Christian position on this is that we are to, the American armed forces are to, at all costs, protect Christians around the globe when we can. So that sounds good to me. But are Christian lives around the globe in other countries more important than, now when we say Christian, that's the broad definition. It isn't necessarily serious brothers in Christ. In the Middle East especially, it's more of a broader, I just want to clarify something else that could be confusing. It's more of a broad genus, like a species of, you know, insect. I mean, it's a broad category. You're Christian or you're Muslim. And it isn't necessarily the same thing we mean by that word. So in that regard, it's the Christians in the Middle East, and many of them are serious and others are by broad category that. So then in that case, our soldiers are Christian, certainly ask Muslims, and we are a Christian nation to them in that broad category. So are our soldiers' lives in the broad category of Christian more less important than the Christians in the Middle East who are sparing? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. So I'm going to ask you, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I do find myself wondering if one of the reasons we are can be cavalier and a little bit quick, maybe, to say, yes, we should stay there at all costs, is because so few of our boys and girls are serving in the military, and very few of us have those personal losses. I don't know if that's part of it, too, but I'm just saying, I just think this is hard. I got an email from Herb, and he said, you do realize the Kurds have been protecting Christian minorities in their territories. I guess that doesn't mean anything to you. Trump eventually turns his back on everyone. Your turn will come. Herb, I don't know why you write something so nasty. If you've been listening, you know I haven't taken a position on this, and I'm telling you this morning exactly what I said the last few days. I realize that President Trump is changeable. I know his character. But I'm really talking about the deeper issue. Are you really convinced, based on what I just said, that we should stay there forever? Because President Trump is right. This has been going on for decades, and I don't think it's possible. I think it's a spiritual problem. We are not going to sort out the difference between the various factions in the Middle East, whether they be Christian or various forms of Islam. I don't think we can do that. So do we stay over there? I just don't know. Okay, our phone number is 888-589-8840. I want to go to something else, too. I mentioned, you know, I want to springboard from this, if I can find this. I got an email from Janet. She's a longtime listener, and this is what she said to me. This is changing the subject ever so slightly. But we certainly know that there's a lot of tension in this country, don't we? Okay, so Janet writes, a left-wing radical in my Sunday school class made a scurrilous remark about Trump to me. I replied that I am a walk away from the Democrat Party. He then made loud noises, drowning me out, and accused me of getting my news exclusively from Fox. I walked out. It occurred to me later that what he had done was Rule 5 of Rules for Radicals. Nothing will change his mind, in my opinion. It is a strongly held belief. No fact will change his mind or the minds of others like him. Janet, I think the most scary part about this to me is that this happened to you in Sunday school class. Makes me wonder what in the world is happening to churches. Not that churches have to support President Trump, but that people would feel free to behave that way in church, to mistreat and abuse. And that reminds me of Ellen DeGeneres, who earlier this week is now in the thick of trouble because she sat next to President Trump. And I'm going to actually play Ellen DeGeneres' statement in response to all that criticism. Let's listen to clip 11.
During the game, they showed a shot of George and me laughing together. And so people were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? Didn't even notice I'm holding the brand new iPhone 11. And, but a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. And but here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again. And, exactly. Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. And I'm friends with people who are furry, as a matter of fact. I have friends who should tweeze more. And I have... But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter. Even people who are already playing Christmas music. I mean, seriously. There's no excuse for that, but I'm kind to them. Anyway, I want to thank Jerry Jones, Charlotte Jones for hosting us, and thanks President Bush and Laura for a Sunday afternoon that was so fun. By the way, you owe me $6 for the nachos.
All right, so that Ellen DeGeneres now is getting a lot of blowback, and more blowback. In fact, Mark Ruffalo, the actor, came after her. He tweeted, sorry, until George W. Bush is brought to justice for the crimes of the Iraq War, including American-led torture, Iraqi deaths and displacement, and the deep scars, emotional and otherwise, inflicted on our military that served his folly. We can't even begin to talk about kindness. A Vanity Fair piled on her, too, says, for decades, Ellen DeGeneres has been the sunny representative for a brighter world we might all live in if we were kinder to one another. But that imagined utopia seems increasingly out of touch with reality. I'm not defending. Look, I'm fully aware who Ellen is and what she stands for. In this instance, though, she is trying to appeal to people about getting along, and you see the response. It's just amazing. We are entering a brand new world. So those two topics today about the division between us and, for instance, Janet's being the object of ridicule in her Sunday school class at church, no less. That, to me, is appalling. And then the wider culture, our families, our friends that we're divided from. So those are two big issues on the table this morning. Let me see if I can get we have a minute only. Sam in Texas, let me hear from you first. Good morning, sir.
Good morning,
Sam.
Am I on?
Yes, sir, you're on, and you have 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. No, I was just going to say, I don't have a lot of the information. None of us really do. But I would believe that I'm of the inclination at this point that the move in Turkey is not a bad move. It puts Turkey in a bind. It puts them in a position of having to make a decision. It just depends on what we're willing to do once they make it. If they make a decision, we don't like. But it really puts them in the vice of a decision tree. So I don't have a problem with the decision at this point. But I'm concerned what our decisions would be, yeah. Their actions.
Sam, did you serve in the military?
No, I did not.
Yeah. I would really be curious, wouldn't you, to know what some of our military guys think about this. There's no question, with those 10,000 ISIS fighters being held by the Kurds, that's not going to end well. And also for the Kurds and the Yazidis, it's just sickening. to see Turkey descend on them. That will be hard, really hard. Sam, thanks for your comments. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When their mom passed, the Landau brothers of New Jersey had a garage sale to clear out their mom's house. But they decided to keep a few things, including mom's old creepy painting of a woman passed out in a chair and two men trying to revive her. Fast forward to their estate auction, and the brothers found themselves fielding bids from France and Germany for the painting. Turns out, it was a long-lost Rembrandt that ultimately sold for $1.1 million. A trained eye spots value where others don't.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
Learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
And this is where I often say that the Word of God is not meant merely to be consumed. The question is not how many scripture you can retain. The question is how much scripture can you use.
Now, thoroughly enjoy the Hamilton Corner. It's a bright light, just a priceless information, and God's Word is so needed.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. China is a wretched country. It is ruthlessly totalitarian, and its citizens have no meaningful freedoms at all. Yet, when the general manager of the Houston Rockets sent a tweet in support of the pro-liberty protesters in Hong Kong, the Chinese people reacted as one with outrage and condemnation. NBA telecasts have been curtailed. Chinese celebrities are refusing to attend NBA exhibition games, and NBA merchandise has been pulled out of stores. One Chinese man said, "In China, it is motherland above all." America is the greatest, freest, most prosperous nation in human history, and yet our celebrities and athletes make a point of disrespecting our flag and our national anthem. Mark Twain said, "We should love our country at all times, support our government when it's right. Maybe China has something to teach Colin Kaepernick."
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's army has just invaded Syria and begun killing Kurdish forces that fought bravely alongside ours in the recent successful campaign to destroy the Islamic State Caliphate. This incursion is just the latest proof that Turkey is a U.S. ally, no more. It follows the Turks' purchase of Russian air defense missiles, increasing ties with communist China, and flouting of U.S. sanctions against Iran. Then, there is the growing role of Turkey in supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, including that Sharia supremacist group's subversive operations and entities inside the United States. President Trump has threatened to respond harshly to a Turkish incursion in Syria, including by devastating that country's economy. At the minimum, we must end the pretense that Turkey is a reliable partner and deserving of the preferred treatment accorded to the valued NATO ally it once was. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
You know, you can see the dissension on our Facebook page. You guys are getting into it with other people weighing in. The tension is just so high. It is unbelievable. We had some really interesting response to my interview with Zach Voorhees. He was the Google whistleblower, remains the Google whistleblower. It was a stunning interview, and a lot of you weighed in. Some ask what his Twitter handle is, because Zach asked us if we would follow him on Twitter, and the more he is known, the safer he feels. And that was the motivation. So it's Perpetual Maniac. That's his Twitter handle, at Perpetual Maniac. We'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can retrack it. Also, let's repost that that interview with Zach, because I think it's worth doing that. One other person says, I have been following you for months but never see your posts. You know, this is a problem we're having, of course, you know, with Facebook. And so I would ask you guys to do me a favor. If you're having a similar experience on Facebook, if you're not able to see the articles, I always, you know, every day we post something. I'm not sure we have yet today. Well, I guess Zach's a Twitter handle, but we do every day. If you're not getting those things and you are, you are trying to access the Sandy Rios in the Morning Facebook page and you're having a problem with getting those posts, let us know. It would help me to know, because there are going to be some meetings coming up where that would be good information to have. And let me just say that Tom has weighed in on this National Day of Action. He wrote a letter to his Senator Tom Cotton. He said, I did not risk my life to see in my old age an unwarranted attack on the president of my country. This is to inform you that you need to defend our president from this bed of treasonous individuals who are attempting to impeach President Trump. I cannot support any member of either house who would not step forward and actively fight for our president and the country I risk life and limb for. And so remember, this is the National Day of Action. It's a day to go to your congressional office. Good for you, Tom, by the way, good for you for doing that. Time to go to your congressional office and let your congressman know how you feel about this. If this is a fight, then we have to fight, don't we? You know, we can't stand over in the corner with our muskets. We have to get in the fight. And Janet, I want to say that to you, too. I know that must have been miserable to be attacked in Sunday school, but I know that must have hurt and also been sort of caught you off guard. But you've corresponded with me enough to know that I know you have a ton of fight in you. So I'm just saying, you know, wash your face and get dressed and fight back. And fight back as a Christian. You know you can, and I know that you understand that. All right, here we go. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's go to Chris in Texas. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to comment on, I think, on the Kurds. I believe President Trump is keeping a promise to bring our troops home. He always keeps his promises. But basically what happened, I understand, is the Kurds have no place to go. They have no land to call their own. They do not simulate to where they have been displaced to. And they have strong beliefs, and they're not going to, which is great. They are displaced. They're refugees in the areas they are living, just like the Jews were in the 1900s. My prayer is that President Trump will see that the Turks will be lying. They said they will not hurt the innocent. I believe they are lying because I understand Sharia law allows them to lie so they can sort of can keep their faith and their wrong faith going. So my prayer is that Trump will see what they are going to lie, and they will lie possibly, and he will turn around and go back in. Yeah. So that's my prayer, that Trump will go back.
So you want him to go back in. Interesting. Okay,
I want
Chris.
Him to go back in. Yeah. Because, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I know. I understand the reasons. Thanks, Chris. Yes, Erdogan is an Islamist of the first order. Surely President Trump must know that. He'll always say, Xi Jinping is my friend, you know. I think it's part of his business language, diplomatic language. And he's not fooled by this. And he's saying that Trump is signaling that his way of fighting this will be economic sanctions. And if that would work, I mean, that would be great, but I just don't know. Okay, let me go to, let's go to David in Texas and see what he thinks. Hey, David, good morning. What's on your mind about this?
Yes. Well, I disagree with the president. I think he should have stayed. I think that he made it clear that our presence was not even that large, where it wouldn't have been a great sacrifice for the U.S., neither financially or even with a large amount of soldiers. He said that there was not many soldiers there already, and for him to pull out, I think that was something which he did only to save, because I disagree with the previous caller saying that because he made, that he simply did this because he did this for his base, that he promised that he was wanting to get out. He should have made his decision based off of what was right and what was good, and what was right and what was good was to support someone who helped you fight a common enemy. All those ISIS fighters and these Kurdish people sacrificed their sons, to help us.
Okay, David, let me interrupt you. No, you're making a
wrong.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But did you hear President Trump's reasons? The clip that I played a few minutes ago, he talked about all the Americans killed in that area and having to write letters to their families and how this he just thinks endless wars are immoral. Now,
he did not hesitate to want to protect Saudi Arabian oil. He was ready about a week or two ago to jump in military to protect oil. Why would he not protect these Christian
I think you're simplifying things because I think that probably there's an end game on the Saudi oil. There's not an end game. That's his point on this. Oh, let me ask you, David. Do you have any David, do you have any family members in the military, or have you ever fought?
Have I ever thought of what?
Have you ever fought in the military? Did you ever fight, or were you ever part of the military? Do you have family members?
In the military. I have a brother that came back from Afghanistan. He fought there. And I would be very proud of anyone who would stand up and help others that way.
Yeah, but
I've had family members in the military.
Yeah. Would you agree, though? I find myself wondering if one of the reasons that we are kind of cavalier about, just keep them in there, is because so few of us really do have connections now with the American military, and really have seen, the fatigue and all the numbers of deployments to these Middle Eastern countries and the endless nature of this. Maybe we don't see it firsthand. You think that could be part of it? The reason why we could be so cavalier about 1,000 American soldiers being in Syria endlessly because they're not, we don't know them? I don't know.
I would say you would have a point if he wasn't so happy and ready to go in to protect oil from Saudi Arabia just 1 or 2 weeks ago. And he pulled out.
But David, I really do think that's unfair. He's made the case.
That was really not fair on his part.
Well, but you're simplifying it in a way I don't think it should be simplified. I don't think that
it was very clear what his intentions were and how quickly he was willing to protect oil.
And did he do it? Did he accomplish the task though, David? The point is you're not listening. He's talking about this problem in the Middle East being endless, like never ending, no end game. He's not saying it's not worth it to protect people. I think he is reckoning a different set of facts than you are. Yeah, if you're telling me that you think it's more important to save lives than oil.
He's ready to protect people, but he's not ready to protect Christian people.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a very good soundbite, but
like
I don't
that.
Think. Oh, come
because
on.
Like
okay,
that,
now, David, now I know where you're coming far. From. Come on, David.
Hey,
now I know where you're coming
from. I'm Christian, and I don't support Trump.
Hey, David. David, stop. Listen to me. I hear you. Let me ask you, I'm just curious. When you say you're a Christian, I really would like to know what that means to you. What does that mean in your life?
Well, I'm assistant pastor of a Baptist church, so I think I know what being
I'm talking about your soul, not your position. I'm talking about what does that mean to you in your personal life?
It means that Jesus is Lord of my life in everything, and that I base my decision based off what would Jesus do in every situation, based off the principles in the Bible and what the Holy Spirit leads me to. And the Holy Spirit leads me to, in this particular situation, is to choose what is right and what is good. And I think when someone says they're willing to sacrifice lives to protect oil, guess what? That's pretty clear that he's
okay.
Not,
David, let me not, ask you something. Let's go to this other thing. I just want you to think with me. Remember that story I mentioned earlier about Sophie's Choice, this woman in Nazi Germany who was forced to choose between the life of one child, and she, by making that choice, they were going to kill the other child, and she had to make the decision. Was she immoral because she chose that the other child should die?
This president is choosing between oil and Kurdish lives.
No, I know that. No, no, but I'm telling you sometimes, look, he's choosing between American lives and Kurdish lives.
He's choosing between, no, it's oil.
No, oh, no, that's the line you, that's what you want to use, but that's not, but he's not. He's choosing between an endless sacrifice of American lives in the Middle East and Kurdish lives. And that was my question. I mean, how do you choose? I know what you think, but I don't agree with you. But I appreciate your input. And I wish you all the best in your ministry. I hope you really mean what you're saying, David. All right, let's go to Bill in West Virginia. Good morning, Bill.
Hello.
Hello. Can you quickly tell us what's on your mind, Bill?
Yeah. Listen, the wars that are going on over there right now and what the Trump wants us to have been going on since before Christ. There's nothing that says in the Bible that we Americans are going to go and save everybody. But we just don't forget what Trump has done. Trump has honored Israel and gone and made Jerusalem the capital. He's absolutely right in pulling those people, our people, out of there, because we're not going to solve those wars. I've been listening to politicians for 40 years how they're going to go fix everything. Well, it's not going to happen.
Well, you're right about that. You think about the Middle East peace conferences. How many have we lived through, Bill? A million of them, because it's just not possible humanly to make peace in that area of the world. And I think that is his point. Go ahead, Bill.
And I did fight in Vietnam, 67, 68. So, you know, I'm tired of hearing these people, oh, I've got a cousin, I've got a brother. They all know about these foreign countries. But, you know, get into the Bible and study the Bible and see what it says. And we better, we Americans better, and Trump is doing it, the administration before him didn't, they turned their backs on Israel. And it wasn't that just Obama, it was before Obama.
Yeah.
Go back to Jimmy Carter. Everybody praises Jimmy Carter.
Not everybody praises Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter hates the Jews, yet everybody thinks he's a good religious person and a good and a saved person. Well, I doubt it if he hates the Jews. So
Bill, thanks. I'm going to have to cut you, but I'm almost out of time. But yes, I hear that point. Let's go to Justin in Texas. You're the last dude here, Justin. Make your point, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I totally believe in what Trump's doing. I totally believe in the fact that he pulled our soldiers out. I did serve. I served four tours in Iraq, and that doesn't make my opinion worth any more than anyone else's. But what it does is I would like to just give the perspective that even our congressional our Congress people are not letting our soldiers go in and do what they need to do, which is completely annihilate the problem at its base. I mean, the fact that we're holding 10,000, you know, captives, I mean, would they hold 10,000 Americans or 10,000 Christians? No, I don't think so. Now, am I saying that that should be a death sentence? No, I'm saying that we need to go in and do what's exactly right, or we need to get out of there, and we need to stop tying his hands in every way.
You know, Justin, you bring up a good point, because I didn't even highlight that part of his statement. He talked about, I think I played the part where he said, we're being policemen. We're not fighting. We're being policemen. And he said, and the point is further made that our troops, this made me really nervous when we started pulling out of the Middle East to leave a handful of soldiers in a hotbed of Islamism, you know, and the potential for horrendous things happening to our guys just is not prudent. And, well, it's interesting to hear your perspective. It is confusing to us, Justin, and but your opinion matters to me because you have served over there, and I appreciate it. All right, well, thanks a lot, Justin. You see how complex things are, and I just don't think we have to pray for God's wisdom to just fill us and lead us and guide us. There's so much I didn't get to today about the impeachment, so many things happening. The next time you'll hear my voice, I'll be at Values Voter Summit. It's going to be a very interesting conference. The president is coming, and I'll be interviewing a lot of interest, Mark Meadows for one, and so you want to hear that, I think. So stay tuned, and meanwhile, be safe and be prayerful and keep fighting. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.